You dickheads.
How do Kiwis find sheep in long grass? Delightful.
Welcome to episode 22 of Double Dodge. This one's called Ayers Rock Fishing Club. And in this one, we talk to you about the Australian National Guild Ball Tournament. Campbell! How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. I could be better. I could be better if things had gone my way. But we do play a dice game. These things happen. But just like the Ayers Rock Fishing Club, I did manage to gaffer a ruin, kiss the fucker before we chucked it out in the catch and release program.
Good on you, mate. Good on you. Yeah, I got my fishing chair hooked up to the trailer. I've got my bait bucket ready, full of grass, and I've even smeared my hook with a bit of roopoo.
Just nice. Help. So you were chumming the desert with a bit of grass.
You know,
nice.
I was.
Yeah, nice. That's quality as rock fishing technique. I like it.
Yeah. I learned it from an old fella out in the desert. He taught me everything I know. So we're having a chat to young Pete Williamson, the Australian national champion, to our eternal shame.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit sad. Like all good Australian things, they don't naturally come from Australia. We steal them from other countries. So Peter Pavlova came over from across the ditch and thought he'd be the only Kiwi to fly in and steal our prize, and did so. So we're going to have to rename it the Oceania Cup, I think, next year, just so we don't get nearly as embarrassed.
I think that's entirely reasonable. And do you know, Campbell, I've been copying shit from New Zealanders on Twitter about the length of time this episode has taken to come out. And do you know what I have to say to those Kiwis, Campbell?
Not much.
Get fucked.
Exactly. Because none of them came over. Like, we'll cop that shit from Peter. That's fine. Yeah. He turned up.
He paid
less than us to fly there, which is kind of weird. But anyway.
Yeah.
And, decided to turn up. He didn't pike at the last minute. So, kudos to him.
Yes. Yeah. The few, the brave.
Exactly. Fucking exactly. Cheeky blew the flag.
Fucking, they think they're all Peter Jackson these days, mate. I'll tell you what.
He's not quite a hobbit, is he? Peter's kind of in between, I'd say.
He's definitely sort of in the realms of Gimli. He's not quite a dwarf either. Definitely not.
No. You might see him in the Prancing Pony, though, I reckon. I reckon that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, he's got a touch of the Prancing Pony about him. So, just a big chat with Pete. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, people have been waiting for this. Obviously, we like to interview national champions and our own tournament. Not excluded from that. So, let's get on into it, I reckon. Well, here we are after an epic adventure on the weekend, and we have with us one Australian champion, someone we like to now call Peter Pavlova. Peter Williamson, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good. And also on the line, my good friend David. How are you, mate?
I am shattered from work today, but I'm otherwise fighting fit and good to go.
Fantastic. It was an epic weekend, Australian Nationals, which we might have to rename to Oceania Nationals. But before we get into it, Dave, you usually like to go through your three questions, so fire away at Pete, mate.
Pete, first question. What is it like for you to now be a new Australian citizen?
I wouldn't call myself an Australian citizen, but I know you guys will claim me and steal, like, everything that New Zealand already does anyway, so, like Pavlova.
Spoken like a true Australian citizen.
Yeah, pretty much.
Question number two. Will you take Russell Crowe back in exchange for the Australian National Championship title? You give that back to us. We'll give you Russell Crowe.
Pass? Really? That's not a fair deal.
We'll give you Farlap back. How's that?
Now you're talking.
Skin and bones.
That was a good horse.
That was a good Australian horse. Old Big Red.
Question number three. What will you say to Alex Botts when you see him in Chicago?
That just depends if he qualifies, doesn't it?
Ooh, burn. I think he's going to go along to SteamCon anyway, so you might get the opportunity to burn him in person. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It just depends on the nature of whether he comes out of it a winner or not.
Yeah, wow. So
I have three questions.
Fire away, mate. Fire away.
So how is the Australian Guild Ball community handling the shock loss?
One beer at a time.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Second question then. Why do you live in a country where everything is trying to kill you?
It keeps you on edge. It's supposed to give you a competitive edge, but apparently it doesn't work all the time.
Yeah, it's meant to be some kind of natural selection thing, but yeah, apparently we failed that too.
Yeah, clearly doesn't work for Guild Ball, right?
No.
Categorically
no.
All right, and the last question is, do you have anything to say to the infamous Pat, formerly known as the other guy from Strictly the Worst?
Ooh. Like this?
That's a hard one, isn't it?
Pat, we like you. We like you. You need to, like, maybe have a chat to our good mate Peter when he goes over to Chicago, because I think Pat didn't like anything to do with Hunters, and I can categorically state that, Pete, you know how to roll the Hunters out.
It's actually interesting because I don't have anything. I hate Brewers, so I'm impressed that he plays Brewers.
Right, so you're calling it right now.
Have something interesting.
Well, it sounds like a love connection waiting to happen, if you ask me.
Oh, probably.
I think you should have a beer, hold hands. I'm sure, you know, conversation can go from there in the long grass.
I think you should fucking smash his Brewers with your Hunters and see what he has to say after that.
Exactly.
They do say opposites attract, right? So.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes the quick fire question round. It's three questions longer than normal this time around. Thank you for introducing a new spin on an old favourite. That's good, keeping it fresh. Well,
yeah. I'm still shocked.
So we thought we'd have a chat about the weekend. So obviously Oz Nats is a big weekend for Australian Guild Ball players, and even those from New Zealand. Do you want to give us the 411 about your trip over?
So it basically started with me going to work on the Friday, you know, and I boarded my cheaper flight than you guys from New Zealand. And,
So basically, I'm chatting to Pete, and we were talking about flight costs. He can fucking get from another country all the way over to Australia, to Canberra, okay, yeah, direct flight. Our flight was, what, an hour and 10, 15 minutes? Cost us $100 more. What's up with that?
There's no...
I was actually saying mine was in New Zealand dollars as well, so it's actually even more than that.
Fuck. Don't. Deeply offended by my country. Anyway, sorry, Pete. Continue, mate.
Yeah, so I got, like, right up the front where, you know, you get, like, the most leg room, so that was great. But, my screen wouldn't work, and I kind of sat there, and I was like, man, am I just a freaking idiot, and, you know, this thing actually works? But I was kind of like, oh, you know, if I ask the stewardess, and, like, she, like, shows me how it works, and I just look like a freaking idiot. So I was like, so I just sat there the whole 3 hours and just, like...
Looking like an idiot.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was good, and I arrived pretty late at night, so I went to the hotel and pretty much crashed. Yeah, because I didn't think anybody else would be up around about 11. So, yeah, that was me prior to the event. And I know you guys came in early.
Yeah, we came in early, but I think the first we saw of you was wandering the streets of Tuggeranong at about 7:30 in the morning in a futile search for breakfast.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys stopped me, because I was probably going to make the same mistake you guys did and not find anything, right?
Yeah. Assuming, like, a city actually has cafes that are open on a Saturday in the morning, they'll coffee. I know. It's craziness. This is weird Australia world that we were in. But, yeah, luckily we turned you around and went back to the hotel. We were there. We were capitalizing on or exploiting the market and slamming us for a – I wasn't a decent breakfast, but it was horrendously overpriced.
But breakfast of champions.
It was. Well, yeah. I mean, we had the odds there. If we, enough of us ate there, then they were going to have the breakfast at least one champion, weren't they? So.
Yeah, probably.
Should have gone for the takeaway box. Yeah, we got in about 6 o'clock, 6:20 that night, and we ended up at 3D6 where the tournament was held, and smashed out a few games and smashed out a few beers, and yeah, I don't know that beers were the right choice in retrospect, but I'm glad I had them. Yeah, it was awesome watching everybody rock up, because, you know, it just kind of sets the mood for the whole event, you know, that building sense of excitement.
Yeah.
Smashed our good friend Hados, yep, in a game. That was fun.
Boo, boo. I got a game with Ed, who I think you played. No spoilers here, but he played you and Peter at one point, but I got a game in with him. But it was just good to kind of, I guess, you know, blow the cobwebs out. I'd been pretty flat out with work that week, so when we came in, Dave and I had plans to play a few like warm-up games during the week, and neither of us actually had any time to actually do it. So it's good to just get one of those, you know, chalk one up at the venue so you get a bit of those nerves out of the way.
Would you say it showed?
What, the nerves or blowing the cobwebs out? Or
the lack of playing each other in the week.
Yeah, well, I didn't win that game against Ed, so yeah, it definitely showed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that the tone of this episode has been pretty clearly set, and I'm just settling in for the sledge fest that's about to come.
I would never do such a thing.
No, you're a kind, gentle individual.
Fucking classic Pete with the old mind games. Yeah, so that was good. That was a fun night. Good to catch up with people. Good to, yeah, big shout out to old Hayden Sheehan.
He was awesome.
Got to meet him and his lovely partner Ella for the first time. But the main event was the day after bright and early Breakfast of Champions rolling into the tournament itself. So why don't we just jump to games? Because I know there were some people on Twitter who basically just wanted to get a blow-by-blow.
Okay. I beg your pardon?
Yeah, you heard me.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So, Pete, why don't you crack off with round one?
All right, so I had Sam last in my first round. He was playing Masons, and I'll just start with my 10. So I had Ferron, Scarfa, Farhad, Zerola, Ulfa, Bethern, Jaykar, Minx, Cena, and Egot. Those are my 10.
No O'Hearn, yeah, which I berated you about, but I guess that kind of backfires when you win. So anyway.
Yeah, he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. But I couldn't fit him in. So how I decided on my 10 was I just basically had two teams. I had a Ferron team and a Scarfa team.
Yep.
So I ran my Ferron team, which is Ferron, Bard, Minx, Cena, Egret, and Jaykar. Always Jaykar. And he ran Honor, Marbles, Mallet, Harmony, Flint, and Snakeskin.
Yeah.
And realistically, the game went like this. Egret walked up, missed three passes, and just died. And he decided to push his advantage into me with Honor. So Honor came up with Marbles, killed her, and then on the start of two, he decided to try push into Ferron. And realistically, Ferron basically turns around, kills Honor. Mallet tries to save Honor. Mallet dies in the process. Minx kills Harmony off the side. And basically, I have 10 points through bear hugging and all sorts of good things for killing Masons. And he's got 6 because Flint scored a goal.
You got 2 bear hugs off?
2 bear hugs.
Nice.
So what we always go for. Then Jaykar decided it's time to score a goal. Charged Snakeskin, bounced off Snakeskin, missed the 2 dice tap in, and I was like, shit. But then Marbles missed his goad on the bear, and the bear killed Snakeskin.
How the fuck does Marbles miss the 2? Oh my god. All right.
He missed 2 goads, actually.
Did he bonus
off? There was a goad earlier that he missed. It's actually, yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Sounds like natural justice, though, doesn't it? You know, you miss a goal, he misses the goad, the fates rebalance, everything is good.
Yeah, so it was okay. But yeah, that was the game. Yeah, he just made a mistake and pushed too far and got a bit greedy off the initial advantage of killing Ygritte. Nice. How did your game go, Dave? We'll go with you, Dave.
Yeah, let's go with me. So my first round, I was playing Hunters as well. We have slightly different team compositions. So I played Theron Skarta for Hard Snow, O'Hearn, Jakar, Ygritte, Zerola, Minx, and Vet Hearn. My intention was never to really play Skarta all day, and I think that probably bit me in the arse in the end. But my first round opponent was a guy called Ben Robertson, lovely guy. He was playing Morts, so that was an Obby v Theron game, and it was super cagey. It was like two control captains just like holding off. You know, he was doing good stuff with Obby, like misdirecting influence off my players, just pushing my shit around, moving stuff out of range. But in the end, after he scored his first goal, I just held the ball for like the whole game until I killed, I killed quite a number of his players. And then ground him out on clock, basically. So we actually, that game went to dice down. So game one, fucking full clock for me. Matty came up and said, like, all right, boys, that's it. And yeah, 11-5 was the score in the end. But it did set the tone for what would be a very long day of very grindy games. So not to foreshadow too much, Cam, but over to you.
Sorry, just actually, a second.
Sorry, go on. Yep.
So, Dave, what happened with your game? Like, did you guys just start super late, or...?
No, it was
you
just...
had, like, 20 minutes, like, still on your clocks and stuff. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. It might have been a late start. We might have fucked up clock, but, yeah, I don't really know. My game plan in that game was just to get ahead on points and then grind out on time. So, beyond that, I can't really remember.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, sorry I can't help you there, mate.
No worries.
Yeah.
Just play faster.
Play faster. Be better. Roll better.
Be better. Get good. So my round one, I got paired up with, and this was probably one of my favourite games of the weekend, a guy named Sean Benson, absolute legend from the Sydney meta. He'd come down, and we look at each other's team. He's playing Fish. I'm playing Engies. I'm praying that he picks Shark in the face-off. But I know, like, a good player isn't going to do that. I'm always taking Ballista into this. So my 10, so I took the Engies, much to Tobias's dismay that I played Engies and no Alkies coming into the weekend. But, I took Ballista, Pin Vice, Mother, Colossus, Compound, Hoist, Ratchet, Velocity, Harry, and Vet Velocity. And in this one, I was hoping he wouldn't take good old Corsair, but he did. So he went Corsair and Tentacles, I'm pretty sure. And then I went Ballista Mother. I took a pretty standard Ratchet Hoist, Velocity, and I think it might have been Harry. Wasn't hugely relevant at that point. And from the outset, we knew it was going to be a grindy game. So from the start, I made sure that I played the clock as well as the game. Corsair is a bloody nightmare, even though I've got close control and knockdowns and things like that. I kicked to him. He spent most of the time just controlling the ball. Every turn was very much a fight for control of the ball, and I would just try to trigger the close control off Corsair, get the ball off at least to neuter him scoring straight away the next turn, and then that whole momentum race. He had Avarice and Greed, and what I saw in this game was a really, really well-played new Avarice and Greed, where you make sure you always have one on Greed. You always put Greed back on Avarice throughout the turn, and you just drop him down as soon as their activation starts, punch a few stuff, and then bring Greed back up. So he did that, but he kept going for my Hoist and Velocity, and I was able to keep them alive because they're just absolute tanks. I think I shot Siren down with a bunch of Blast Earths. He went and killed – I'm not sure if he dragged Ballista in early, killed Ballista early – and then went for a goal. So I went to like 6-2. I got a counter goal and kind of went back and forth. And the game was really dragging out, as I knew it was, but I just made sure I had that clock advantage. And then towards the end, I'd push the ball off to one side. He didn't heal Sakana. I managed to get Sakana as well. So killed Sakana off, got to 8. I obviously killed someone else, went to 10. And then at this point, I saw that the clock was basically killed on his side. So I knew if I just played smart, I could clock him, and the game had just dragged on because I couldn't get the ball off bloody Corsair. He went to 7, by killing Mother, and then clock went. He had two activations to win it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't get two. Or he needed, was his seventh, so he needed a takeout and a goal. Went for a takeout, couldn't get the ball, and that was pretty much it. But really good back and forth, tough game. I fucking hate that match. But yeah, Sean's an absolute champ. I had a good chat to him after. Oh, I forgot about the snapshot attempt, didn't I, Peter? So yeah, this was,
please,
this was
tell
a, I did have an opportunity to score a goal at the end. I did finally get the ball. Colossus, actually, I did have Colossus in this one because Colossus had got within, wasn't tap in range, it was within shot because he'd scored a goal already. But I managed to wrangle the ball, win turn, set up an opportunity with a long bomb with Ratchet, teed it up, got the momentum, pinged a pass off to Colossus. Sean being a chance, God, you got to go for the snapshot. And I'm like, yeah, I've got enough to bonus time a snapshot from here. Five dice. You know, the odds aren't too bad. Stupid Campbell goes, yeah, let's go for this. Rolls it. Rolls like 2-2-2-1-1. So no successes. Mm-hmm. Peter's sitting there going, you're a fucking dickhead because you were watching my game at the end of this. Because if I take the dodge off the pass, there's absolutely no way he can get the ball off Colossus. And I tap it in. Next activation. So that was some quality play.
Sorry, I couldn't resist pointing it out to you, like, right there and then.
No, it was good. It was good. Yeah. Well, look, I like to think of the weekend as a learning experience, and that was definitely one of the suboptimal plays I made. But I also just liked the idea of pinging it to Colossus and getting a snapshot for the win. That was, you know, that would have been a good way to close it out.
Fair enough.
Be less shit, Campbell.
Round two, go.
Who's going?
You are, Pete. We keep it in the same order.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, yeah. Right. So I had Morgan, and he was toting a sweet Midas getup, but he was playing Smoke. So he played Smoke, Flask, Crucible, Mercury, Harry, and Compound. And he, basically the first turn was Smoke shot for goal, so he went four up. Mm-hmm. And then I kicked the ball out behind my line accidentally. I actually learned that the ball can just be a little bit over and you don't get any momentum.
Correct.
So, yeah, I learned that. I didn't know. I never really kicked the ball over my line.
Takes the fucking tournament.
Love it.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah. Well, you learn, right? But, like, Ferron shot a couple of people, shot Smoke. Cena's threatening now Smoke to basically one rounder. So he backs off with Smoke in the second turn. And realistically, the ball's, like, with Farhad the entire time, and I just start taking player after player off. I'm out-conditioning the Smoke Alchemists, which is pretty bad news for them. Yeah, there's not really too much to say. I just, like, whittled away his players. He had no damage in the lineup, and I was just healing anything he put on me. Yeah, it was pretty brutal. So I basically killed four players, and he conceded at 8-4 when Ferron was basically lined up to go for a shot.
He didn't even let you take the shot?
No.
I don't know. Nice. I think sometimes it's better just to, like, put something out of its misery, right?
There was really no way of him coming back, to be fair. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, there wasn't too much he could have done. I don't know really how he gets into that game.
Out of interest, you think you like that matchup? In terms of you can generate more damage and more momentum from range than Smoke can? Or do you think his lineup could have been a little bit more optimal?
Well, he didn't have one of the catalysts.
Yeah.
So he had no threat on any players that even went in. But realistically, it was just Minx and Jakar going in on the sides, just chipping off eight damage or so. Harry missed a goat on the bear again, so that's cool.
The goat.
That bear is untamable. But yeah, it was just I don't really know how he gets into the game. I think it's got to be the Smoke show. But the turn he backed off with Smoke basically meant he was never getting that ball.
Yeah, you kill the ball and then just kill player by player, and it's pretty straightforward at that point.
Yeah,
stereotypical Theron game: ice the ball, get to eight, go to score. You know, he likes to play that long.
Yeah, it pretty much is. Hmm. Yeah.
So my round two was against Big Daz from Nerdvana Games, and we actually got to play this one on stream. So that is on the internet on the 3D6 Twitch channel page. It wasn't like I think Daz made a critical error. He was playing Union, Blackheart Union, and he advanced Minx up into range of Theron on the first turn. What that basically let me do was shoot her with Theron, generate a bunch of momentum, win turn, kill her at the start of second turn, and then get up on an activation for every subsequent turn until I was ready to score a goal and just close out the game. So, you know, he did have shitty dice, but I'm not sure how material that was to the overall outcome of the game. I actually think if he hadn't have moved Mixed in, it would have been a much cagier game from my point of view, and he might have had a better opportunity to play the goal-scoring game that he wanted. But it's all there in glorious colour for anybody who could be bothered.
I've watched it. It's pretty good. Look, a shout-out to those guys just while we're on it. The 3D6 stream was sensational, and the setup they had was such that you could go into the bar next door, or as part of it, and watch it. And so I spent, you know, if I finished a round early, I'd go in there and I'd watch the stream. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was an awesome setup. But how was your round two, dude?
Round two, well, this is where the wheels fell off. The cogs, stopped working with each other. I got paired up with Tobias Ford. Another engineers player. And this was always going to be a long one because we both know that it's going to be ballista into ballista. So we picked our teams, and what I found really interesting here was that Tobias went for – he didn't take Ratchet. He took Hoist, Harry, Compound, and Vet Velocity. So he went for this anti-goal scoring control. Very, it was like a really interesting side. I went for a more standard Ballista Mother, Colossus, Hoist, Ratchet, Normal Velocity. Yeah, that's right. Turn one, I kicked to him. He comes up. Harry, I think, got the ball. So I then proceed to, like, just blast and shoot the shit out of Harry, get a bunch of momentum. I think he was surprised by how much I could – or how much, yeah, what I could get on him. Because I wasn't really fussed about the rising anger. I figured Harry's the kind of weak point in the team. I think it was a plus one initiative roll to me. Lost that. I was slightly disappointed, but you're never guaranteed those ones. Next turn, he then lined up. And that's where I find this matchup is very it snowballs. So if you can get the initiative, you can actually often push for each turn's initiative. So he came in, started doing some serious damage into me, got a goal. I worked it off to my left-hand side and played a bit of keepy off on the side of the pitch with Colossus. He kept trying to push Colossus off with Harry. We had a bit of back and forth there, and I basically edged Colossus right around the edge. There were a few kind of interesting interactions with Mother and Harry. I fucked up at one point and didn't do a move with Harry, and probably cost me an initiative roll in another turn. Hoist into Harry with a burrow. Eventually I score a goal and then manage to win an even dice roll and score another goal pretty quickly with a takeout. So I go to 10 really quickly when Tobias was probably controlling the game. He comes back and scores a goal and we go to 10 all. And this is where I fucked up really badly. Tobias was up on the momentum. I'd seen the clocks were really short and started trying to push the clock game and figured I was in front of him in time. So if I can get him to clock, then I just get the 2 points there. He's pushed my ballista off the pitch. My ballista comes back on, and I put him right next to his ballista, thinking, I think I actually, and Peter was sitting next to me at this point, I'd actually flipped the dice. So I set up dice in my games to show VPs. I'd only given him 2 instead of 4 for a goal. So in my head, he still needed a goal to win. So I think I was thinking, I can put my ballista there, bait him into pushing him off. If he doesn't push me off, I push him off, and then I can go ice the ball. And with the amount of influence he has, he's going to burn the 1.5 minutes he had left. Stupidly, Tobias was on 10, pushes ballista off, and I lose the game 12-10. And I think David sort of that interaction and watched me place ballista next to ballista.
I just had to walk away at that point. I'm like, oh, I can't watch this.
Look, I think once, because I'd played a long game to clock the one before and then that one had, my decision making wasn't fantastic at the end of that. Looking back at it in hindsight, sadness. So, yeah, that's where I went and got a beer at that point and thought, you know what, let's have a bit of fun for the rest of the day. Still play hard, I think all the nerves kind of go once you've lost. When you know you're not going to be, you know, contesting for the title, then you can kind of just, you know, play loose gill ball.
Yeah, that's true.
I would know.
I was super fucking sad. And I think Peter, this was the best bit. So Peter's sitting next to me and he goes, Campbell, this is where you fucked up, and managed to then to tell me exactly what I'd done wrong.
Pete, where did Campbell fuck up? Let's hear exactly how he fucked up.
Well, he fucked up by putting Ballista like next to his Ballista going second.
Yeah.
5 inches on the board edge. It's just always going to be knocked off.
Hmm.
But he didn't give himself a shot to win that initiative roll.
Yes.
So realistically, he was trying to do something to compound, and instead of like he's trying to take compound out, I think.
At that point, I was going for clock, but then I just kind of started burning activations without using up all the influence to try to go for clock. And I had, Hoist and Colossus next to Compound and probably could have generated a bunch of momentum there.
Yeah, like you could have just locked, because I think Tobias was like 4 up and you had like 4 or 5 influence on Colossus and Ratchet. And you could have probably generated at 4. So you could have gone even, maybe 1 down. And at least giving yourself a shot, because if you had won that initiative roll, you'd do exactly the same thing that Tobias did to you.
Yeah, I push his Ballista straight off, absolutely.
Yeah, so it was a bit brutal, like just sitting there going, oh, come on. at least give yourself a shot to win the game, because when you lost that initiative roll, I think Tobias, all he had to do was pick up the ball, pass it to Hoist, and you were probably fucked at that point anyway.
So, question, on the right-hand side, my right-hand side, that's where the ball was, and Vet Velocity was over there. Do you think if I had Ballista coming on this right-hand side, because I've been beating myself up over this for a while, if I come on, on that right-hand side and threat both Vet Velocity and the ball, do you think he could have got away one or the other? Because I'm at 10. Ballista's not a great chance, but can kill her. Do you think that... been a play?
You can't kill Vet Velocity. Unpredictable.
So I'm fucked at that point, basically.
Yeah, you were fucked. When you lost the roll-off, you were fucked.
Okay. Fantastic. And this is why Peter told me where I fucked it up.
Yeah.
It will stand you in good stead for the future. You know, it's better to hear these things.
Absolutely. So round 3, Peter, the master. Come on. Who'd you get?
I got Ed Lambeck.
This dude's a fucking legend. He's such a lovely bloke.
Oh, he really is. He was a nice bloke. So he's also from Canberra, along with my other two opponents. He played Rage, Strongbox, Benediction, Avarice and Greed, Decimate, and Gutter. So I found it interesting that he wasn't playing Mist. And maybe it was because I was saying, you're going to take Mist. You're going to take Mist, right? That he decided he wasn't going to take Mist. I don't know, but I think that team works super well with Mist, and without it, he had really no gold pressure.
Yeah, I think if you're not taking Mist in Vet Rage, you're doing something wrong, because it's an easy 4 points. You know, it just speeds up that game a little bit.
Yeah, the game was televised, or on the stream, I mean, but the game, he pushed a little bit too far forward, in my opinion, and so Decimate got taken out by Pharaon, because he pushed in, and I won the go second. So Pharaon takes out Decimate. Basically, Jaykar and Minx take out Gutter, but Benediction and Rage get in on the Bear and Pharaon at some point in the middle. They take them out. It's always going to happen, I think. Most of the time it happens. I take out Gutter again on the side, and I take out Strongbox, that stupid tortoise. So basically, I'm now sitting in front of the goal with Jaykar, Minx, and Egret, and it's hard to remember exactly what went on, but so I'm on like 5 and he's on about 4. I take out, Gutter comes back on. He goes for Farhad to try heal Gutter back up. Jaykar comes in. I leave the ball sort of around the goal with Egret. Jaykar goes into Gutter. Minx goes into Gutter, kills him. Kills her again. So now I'm on 7 and he's on 4. And he brings Gutter on in a really dangerous place again. But I bring Pharaon in and the Bear in. And I basically bait him to push Pharaon off. And he goes for the bait. And he fails one of the pushes. Which is super rough for him.
Yeah.
It was super rough. And I was like, I felt really bad because I was like, well, I kind of expected you to push him off. But so Pharaon lives. Egret scores. Because I have the 1 momentum for going second.
Mm-hmm.
And basically at this point he concedes because Jaykar can just take out Strongbox and there's nothing he can do. Or I take out Gutter, either way. So yeah, that was pretty much a game. He played a pretty... He just overexerted himself on the first turn, which just allowed me to get 3 damage that I shouldn't have been entitled to without, you know, if Farron really wants to play that sit-back game and have a player come in sort of one at a time, and he allowed me to play that, yeah. So, you know, so I ended up being 12-4. I lost Cena and Farron in the middle.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's not a bad result. Yeah. Yeah, I had a watch of that game on stream as well. So, yeah, overextending in the opening turn. Badness. Theron loves that shit, man. He just wants one target. So my third round was against Patrick Robertson. So Ben Robertson and Patrick Robertson are brothers. They're twins. And they are apparently quite good players in the Penrith meta in Sydney. Patrick was playing Hunters, so I had a Theron v. Theron mirror. And if you ever want to picture slugs fucking Theron v. Theron is the grindiest bullshit you'll ever come across. But this game was an interesting one because I kicked off to him, and it basically set up a first turn Jaykar goal. But what that meant for him was that Jaykar was now in the middle of, you know, my bunch of clowns, and they just went to town on him. So I was able to kill Jaykar at the start of the following turn, and basically just to ice the ball on Zarola until I hit 8 points, went for the goal. He did get, I think, 1 goal and 2 takeouts, so another player in Fahad. But really, that was like that classic Theron game where, you know, you talk about Theron waiting for somebody to come in and then picking off one by one by one. He ran Chaska, which, I don't know, Pete. I don't really rate Chaska. I think he's like a model that offers a lot of... He promises a lot, but he rarely delivers on anything.
Yeah. I always find, like, he wants a lot of momentum, right? So he wants the 4... influence. He wants a lot of influence. Basically wants the 4 influence. If he has to sprint, it's super rough. He requires a lot of setup, so he's quite telegraphed. He's not a bad player, but in the end, it comes down to you're rolling 2 dice character plays. And as we'll get on to, it's super rough if those don't work. I just feel there are easier ways to go about winning and generating yourself some momentum.
Yeah, 4 influence for just non-momentous damage in return. Like, it's fine if you can take somebody out, but it's rarely the case that you get that opportunity.
Mm. It's the range as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 4 inches is not huge. And he is a bit of a victim in the same way that Ratchet is.
Yeah, he's also pretty fragile in some regards. He's a 3-1, yeah.
He's not bad. He's just like, he's one of those guys where you're like, I've got actually quite a number of good options, and I feel that you're on the periphery of those. There's more efficient options in Hunters, I think.
I think so too, but some people really love him, so, you know.
Yeah, horses for courses, I suppose. So that was my round. Lovely bloke. Oh, actually, thanks. Patrick is a legit player. He's a really good player. And it was a very hard game. It was a very long game. So props to him. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. So round 3, I was drowning my sorrows at this point. I made sure I had a beer with me. And I played Michael. And Michael hasn't played a bunch of games. And he actually got the pair up. Now, that's not me talking about my ability. But he hadn't won a game and I was 1-1. He was playing engineers as well. So we had a bit of a chat, he was always going to play Ballista. I was like, I should play Ballista, but I'm going to play Pinvice because I just wanted to have some fun. So I did. And we basically spent a lot of the game, like I was trying to just show him different tactics, that kind of thing. In the end, it was 12-4. I scored a couple of goals. I think I finished it with, like a ridiculous, Pinvice goal. I think I was up on activations because I pushed Ratchet off the table for the second time. So, yeah, pretty straightforward. Really nice guy. And, you know, we had a chat about it afterwards and how we could kind of roll the game out. But, yeah, thankfully I got a little bit easier one, but it generally happens when, you know, you're not at the top table. So, yeah.
So what are your thoughts of Pinvice into Ballista? Do you just not like it or...? I'm just curious.
I don't mind it. I think Pinvice, damage-wise, doesn't keep up with it. You can play all the reanimate and those, you know, pieces of tactic, bits of tactics, but I don't know. I find NGs into NGs, you want to play the long game. And this is what I found interesting about the matchup with Tobias is he took two goalkeepers. So I actually thought, and it kind of panned out this way, where I would have more beaters or more models, you know, winning the punch-up. I think Pinvice is still definitely playable into it. You play a fast game, but I think if you choose Pinvice and he chooses Ballista, then potentially he just chooses two goalkeepers on you and then sits back and stops you from scoring. And as much as Pinvice can kill people, generally wants to get, you know, wants to go for the 2-2 game. So, I mean, yeah, both are playable. And really, at that point, I was like, I prefer that style of Gilball as well. I prefer scoring goals, so I just wanted to have a bit of fun.
Fair enough.
Which brings us to round four. This is an infamous round. This is where the wheels came off for me.
Yeah, you go, Dave. This is it'll be much more amusing from your side.
So I actually drew Peter this round, and it was a Hunters v Hunters match. And I think this game was lost probably on two key points. The first is that Pete drops Scartha and I drop Theron, and I think Scartha is probably better into Theron. The second is that I played a game relying on ranged character plays, and my opening play was trying to hit a def 5 target in Scartha with Theron's ranged snipe. I didn't get it. And I think that probably meant that Pete was able to snowball his game in the way that he wanted. But to Peter's credit, I never felt that I was in that game. Like, I felt the whole of that game, he was moving my models for me rather than me actually playing any kind of game plan. I don't know.
Did you ask him to wear gloves while he did that?
No. He had clean hands. It was all right. I don't know, Pete. Like, how did it look from your perspective?
So when you miss those character plays, it was more the you didn't generate momentum. Because Hunters actually, if you look across the board, they actually have pretty good counterattacks. So Jaker is a little bit... Who does he go into? So Egret's got a double dodge on two. Theron's got a double dodge on two. You know, Jaker's tech, you know, double dodge on three. You know, that sort of thing. And so it was super rough to see who I went into. But as soon as you didn't generate any momentum, it just basically allowed Jaker to go onto Theron and start just basically hammering him. But yeah, realistically, I don't actually know if Scave is a good drop, but I really didn't want to play that long grindy game because this was the fourth round. I was tired and I was just like, oh, let's just get this over and done with one way or the other. So I decided to drop Skaver. Now, you said you had played that matchup before, Theron versus Skaver. I actually hadn't played that matchup. So how did your previous game go then? I'm kind of curious.
I hadn't actually played the matchup. The conversation I'd had was with, like, Steve Easton and I were talking after the British Nats. And he dropped Theron into a matchup which he felt was suboptimal. I think it might have been a Hunter's Mirror. He feels strongly that Scather is the better choice because of the faster game that she plays, and basically because the def 5 means that, like, sometimes those ranged character plays are just not going to hit. So it's essentially an exercise in theory crafting. I mean, I can see where he's coming from. I think the speed argument is probably the strongest one, because you played a team that had, like, a lot of goal threat in Ulfa, yeah, in Scather. I think, did you play Egret as well?
No, I played Jaker and Bethan.
Jaker. And Jaker's like a hugely mobile goal threat anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. It was a rough game for me because I was a bit like you. I was like really tired after three pretty long games. Yeah. And yeah, definitely had the brain fade on, and I think you outplayed me. I just think you were the better player on the day there.
Yeah.
Yup.
Nice. Yep. Nice. So, is this where I jump in? Or?
Yeah. Feel free. I mean, you know, you're both out of it now, and, you know.
And the sledging begins. Absolutely.
Well, I was hoping you'd commentate on the last game, so, you know.
I was hoping I'd commentate. I still had a shot in the last game, spoiler alert. So that's in terms of placement, so that's why I kind of tried to play that quick. So round four, I've played Fish, NGs. So naturally, I'm going to draw Fish again. I played Seb. He's a really good bloke, really good game, and I wanted a quick one, and it was a 13 activation game. So basically, I kicked off to him. So he played Shark into – I went Ballista, and I was like, oh, I like this. This is good. I kicked into him. He retrieved the ball. I kicked with Velocity. He retrieved it, and then I got the first activation goal, stealing it off Jack and then scoring. He then manufactures a couple of activations to then get an Angel goal from, you know, 10 inches away, because, yes, I killed the ball for a while. My second to last activation, I get a bit cheeky and I pass it to Ballista and move him up slightly in cover. He played Who Are You on Velocity when she first scored, and Shark charges Velocity, triggers the Who Are You, gets a total surge over onto Ballista, steals the ball, dodges around, scores a goal. And we're like, oh, and I'm going, great. So he's now gone 8-4. I got one activation. I go for a dicey kickoff straight up the middle in front of Ballista. I'm like, well, I'm in range to use his legendary. So I'm like, bugger it. Get the scatter, charge Angel, double push her out, or I can't remember what I did, but basically generate momentum, take the breach goal, goes to 8-8. I think I was up by one or two momentum. It was a pretty relatively close roll-off. And then he kicks it out. We roll off a turn. I win, and it was kind of loose, and it was about within half an inch of Grayscale's and Angel, but no one could snap it. Ballista's in range to basically sprint up, shoot Hag in the face for the one momentum, and then shoot a goal. So, yeah, 13 activations. Thank you very much. Went to the bar, got another beer, and, yeah, watched you guys play.
Nice.
And that's how it's done. What we did discuss afterwards, and Seb's relatively new player, so he was doing really well. Had he popped his legendary before I kicked the ball out with Shark, then there's no goal on the table there, and I've basically got to kick it sideways and just kill the game right off. So I'm kind of glad that didn't happen, obviously, because I won, but also because the game would have just gone forever. And then I play, you know, trying not to, you know, give up the third goal. So
yeah, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Well, we know what happened in Pete's fifth round. So I don't know, Cam. Did you want to tell us your fifth round, and I'll give mine before we go on to the main event.
I'll quickly go through. So I played Sam, who I think, Pete, you played first round. So Mason's.
Yep.
He's a really good player. I can't remember a lot of this game because I'd had a few drinks at that point. But we went back and forth. Basically, the game ended 12-10. There was a point at which where I went in on, I think, Snake Skin with Colossus, and he said, oh, you know, Snake, she's only got six left on her. I proceed to kill her, and then a few activations later, he's gone, I'm not sure if you've done that much damage to her already, and the play state had already changed. So we weren't sure what had kind of happened there, and obviously wasn't in a condition to remember what was going on. But anyway, yeah, 12-10, he's a super good player. I really, really enjoyed that game. But yeah, so I managed to go 4-1 on the day, which I was pretty pumped with.
I got Sean Benson, round 5, your mate Sean Benson. Yeah, top dude. Fucking legit player. He was playing Shark into my Theron. Basically, this game was like it was a knife fight. It was super close, super tense. We both get to 8 points. I think I've killed 4 of his players, and he has scored 2 goals with Shark. The game basically came down to one bad decision, I think. The board state was such that I've got Egret about 12, 14 inches off goal. I've got Fahad with the ball, and it's down to the last 2 activations of the turn. I decide to boot the ball to space with Fahad, thinking that Egret can just run and grab it, and there's nothing in the way to, you know, to get there. I can't remember whether Fahad was in range or not, but I think he was in range to pass. I basically set up this arrangement whereby Jack was left to go, and then Egret was the last activation. So he obviously sees what's happening once the ball is, like, sort of in front of Egret and loose. And he runs Jack up and throws a bonus time goad on Egret, meaning that I can now no longer go and get the ball and win the game. And it was, like, it was a legit play. I didn't anticipate it, I'll admit. And I think the best option there would have been just to take a bonus time pass to Egret, have her dodge up out of Jack's range and just walk in and, you know, tap the ball in. But, you know, it was a long day, and I was pretty tired, and, yeah, I think just got that brain fade and ended up going 3-2 and coming 6th overall. So, not bad, not great. Had a good time. Sean's a dude. It was a good game.
Sean's an absolute champ. He was really good. Had a good chat to him afterwards, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, nobody wants to hear us crap on about losing. Pete, your last game.
So, yeah, as I said before, I was disappointed that Cam didn't commentate on it. You know, it would have been good. It's not
I
like
was disappointed. I actually tried to get in there at the end, and Maddie denied me. Yeah,
really?
I even had a beer for him as well. I know. So more for him, I think.
Yeah, so the game is streamed, and actually I really recommend you go watch it. It was a super tight, well, it turned out to be a super tight game.
Yeah.
But how it sort of played out was Tobias missed a couple of four dice passes at the start, so he didn't get the momentum. I don't think that really actually mattered in the end, because what happened was Zerola Midnight Offerings Jaykar up, and Skaver dropped Fast Ground in behind Jaykar. Now Jaykar has now got an 11 inch sprint, so he frets 12 inches, and he just goes straight into engaging compound and basically knifes poor Ratchet. Does, you know, sets a, puts lead on him and all sorts. And basically I get up on the momentum and I kill Ratchet at the top of two.
Nice.
Pit Bison scores. Yeah, Ratchet deserves to die.
He always deserves it. Anyone with tooled up deserves it.
Yeah. It's the only engineer player that you can actually kill. It's really ridiculous. But anyway, Pit Bison scores. And I score back at the end of my turn. And the ball just ends up in the middle of the field. Now, Jaykar ends up 3 inches from the edge of the board. And I have this rough decision to make is whether I think Jaykar will die or not when allocating my influence. Or whether I just go get the ball and try to score again. Ratchet comes in next to Jaykar. And so I went into the tank for quite a while. I was like, oh, this is super ropey. Because Hoist can just go push dodge, push dodge, push dodge, off Jaykar goes. Oh, I thought about it and I was like, oh, I can back myself to roll 3/4s and get the double dodge. As long as I get that roll, Jaykar's safe, right? Hmm. Doesn't matter if Hoist has moved or not. It, you know, he can't do it. So I back myself, Hoist, so I get that roll, which is really important, which then allows Jaykar to basically go in and kill Ratchet again. So I'm up 8-4 at this stage. Pinvice kills Zerola, because I move Zerola in to block Pinvice. Actually, Pinvice leaves Zerola on 1 and goes and gets the ball. So Pinvice is sitting in the middle of the field with the ball in cover. And I go in with Ulfa, and despite cheating a little bit and rolling two extra dice, I only end up with a tackle after two attacks, and I should have healed Zerola at this point, because I just totally didn't see Vet Velocity going in and punching Farhad, dodging off it, and then killing Zerola. That was a pretty bad mistake, but you live and learn, right? It was the fifth game, and I was just probably not thinking things entirely
through. You need a guy called Peter sitting next to you telling you where you fucked up.
Yeah, I wish I was. Like, oh, you fucking moron. Like, I look back at it, and it's just like, oh, you dropped it. But Vet Hearn comes in, gets the ball off Pinvice, because close control's already been taken off her. And I have this, I don't know where to kick the ball to. So I'm trying to get it to Skaver. Skaver's outside range, but Mother's there. And Mother's a prick when it comes to ball range. Like, what can she actually, she can get it from
a long way.
Yeah, something ridiculous, right? Some ridiculous range.
Depends how much influence you got, but I mean, yeah, she can burrow sprint and then throw out a nest and then actually web it from the nest.
Yeah.
So, you know, the throw of the nest and the web is 7 on its own, plus a sprint, that's 14, plus another burrow is probably another 6-ish, so it could be about, yeah, lots anyway.
I think she had no influence on it, but it was like 11 inches or something like that, which I had to be cautious of.
Yeah.
So I kick the ball out, I get it to a good place, and he plays that stupid card which allows him makes me re-roll it. And I was like, ah. It was miles away from me. And I'm like, okay. And so I was, Skaver's engaged by compound, and I have to really think of how to get the ball. And I should have just taken the parting blow, like, right from the outset and just gone, that's good. She's not, compound won't hit it.
Yeah. It's knockdown's off about the four, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. But I try, like, this cheeky snowball into J-Car and fail it. And then I go for a sprint and, you know, get away with it. And I forgot to drop my plus two ground. But I still couldn't reach the ball anyway. Mm. And I'm plus two on initiative. And if I win this roll, I probably just get the ball, pass snowball to Vet Hearn, and shoot in a goal. And I lose the roll.
Nice.
Fuck. So this game drags on for like another 40 minutes at this point. This is just brutal. Because basically Ratchet comes back on, long bombs to Vet Velocity, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Because now the Pin Vice 6, basically Pin Vice kills a player and then Vet Velocity scores, is really on. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I sit there and have to think and think and think. And I see Vet Hearn can get to Vet Velocity. So he goes over, sprints over to her, has one attack. Well, has two attacks, but, you know, if I have to get it on the second attack, I can't kick the ball out. Get it on my first roll. Thank God for that. And then I just punt the ball to space. Yeah. So now Pin Vice has to think, ah, shit, what does she do? So it's basically, the game went on for ages where all just, we were both putting so much ball pressure on each other, where nobody was going for any takeouts because there was just so much ball pressure being applied to each other. That I was denying him the ball because that was his way to victory. My way to victory was I needed to score because I can't take out any engineer except Ratchet, and I'd already taken him out twice, and I managed to take him out a third time. That guy's a dick. You just need to die every time. But yeah, I don't really know what much more to say, except like Tobias played a really good game, and if I had lost to him, you know, fair credit to the guy. But yeah, that was a pretty tense game. And I don't mean between me and Tobias. I mean, it was just a tense, like, board state game. Mm. I assume you guys have watched it. Do you have any sort of comments?
I have, yeah. And I think, like, there's a really, like, the role of the clock in that game was hugely important because at the end of the game, you were down to 22 seconds on your clock and Tobias still has something like 5 minutes left on him. And
I think he was on like two, really.
Oh, okay. All right. But either way,
it wasn't that.
You've got 22 seconds, and you still managed to force the game into overtime and win by having Tobias clock out. Like, if that is not some composure, I don't know what is, because I'd deeply stressful to play under those conditions, let alone make enough good decisions to win the game.
Yeah. Basically, he was forcing me into a lot of decisions that needed to be made, and then I was starting to force it. The table sort of turned, and I started forcing him into a lot of decisions. So he had to keep stopping me from scoring at that point. And I think that's when his clock started to run down a little bit. Was how he would stop me from scoring. So yeah, it was just an interesting game.
Yeah, it really was. I think like I'm glad it was recorded as well because it's actually a really good clinic in spatial play, in ball control, and I guess enforcing bad decisions on your opponent, you know, providing them with bad targets. Because at one point in that game, towards the end, all you'd offered up was like Vet Hearn to a Pin Vice who was never in a position to be able to kill him. You know, so yep. He's taking these activations, not generating a lot of momentum, not actually progressing the board state any, whilst you are slipping the ball off to the side and playing the game plan that you wanted to. Great game, like really good game. Super tense, like you say.
Yeah, man, I was tired after it. And actually, I was more relieved that I'd won five games rather than, like, any sort of prize. Like, the prize never really crossed my mind until about Tuesday. But
well, we made sure that your mind couldn't think of much that night, so.
Yeah. Oh, it was just good to win all five games, to be honest. And there was a higher power at work, really, because You know at CanCon how I lost to you, Campbell?
I do. I do remember that game. Do you want to recount that to make me feel better, or no? It's all
right. If you want. Basically, I missed character plays, and you went and scored 3 goals. Game over.
Minus stuff. Anyway, yep, continue.
Basically, I got the I got berated like hell for losing that game to you by Nicola from New Zealand. Yeah, he berated the shit out of me for losing that game. And it scared me so much to lose another game that he basically said to me at the start, if you don't win, you know, and I was just like, oh, God, not again. So basically, I was more worried about disappointing him than I was about anything else because I just didn't want him to, you know, take the piss out of me again.
Right.
And have to put up with it.
Is he your sensei or something?
He must be, in a way. In a weird, weird way.
It sounds like a complicated relationship.
It is. It's very complicated. I'm sure he loves me, really.
I don't know, man. It's hard to tell from this distance. Actually, it's probably worth talking about the New Zealand meta a bit, because even though you guys are small, it is really strong. Like, there's some quality players from New Zealand.
Yeah, so the New Zealand meta is... it's mostly comprised of ex and current War Machine players, and mostly it was the top ones that picked it up. So we are a really tiny meta, but it was mainly the top War Machine, the people kicking around the top tables of War Machine who sort of play Guild War. So it's just become a sort of shark-riddled puddle, in other words. You know, like, in Wellington, I have two other people, and basically, you know, they're both really good players, and so they keep me on my toes when playing them. But, you know...
That's an issue with a lot of metas. I mean, because, you know, we have seen, especially over here, certain cities just drop off the map where the interest was quite high early when, you know, War Machine was having some issues, and then people have dropped off, like, metas have almost died. Do you think that is part of it, that you get, like, more highly competitive game than some other ones, and if you're not up to scratch, then it pushes people away?
Might be. Yeah, that could be part of it. It is hard to say. Yeah, I mean, I always like a challenge.
Yeah.
So if people are better than me, I am more infused to play that game because I want to get as good as them. So it would have the opposite effect on me, kind of, because I'd like to join those sharks. But yeah, I don't know. Like, different people react differently, right?
It's a matter of what you want to get out of your gaming too, whether it's more about the, you know, thematic kind of side of it, or whether it's, you know, about that competitive level. And I know Dave and I mean, we play each other all the time, but for us, it's as much about, you know, setting puzzles for the other guy and unlocking them as it is about the, you know, the hobby side of it and the thematics. So.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So how come you had to come over alone? What happened to the rest of your countrymen?
So one of them dropped for a local War Machine event.
Boo.
Local. Yeah, I know.
Who was that, Pete? Do you want to call him out? Do you want to call him out publicly?
Well, he's my local, so he's Mike Fawn. He dropped for... but he trained me up. You know, he trained me up for this event, so that's all good on him, really. And the other two were Chris Baker and David Stent. And Chris Baker decided not to come because of some stupid exam or some bullshit. I don't know. And David Stent, well, he can't go anywhere without Chris Baker, so...
okay. They need to be surgically removed from each other.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, it was a bit of a shame because I was going to have, you know, a more New Zealand meta, but it only took one anyway, so it wasn't matter.
Is one of them a sheep, just out of interest?
I wish, but no.
Awesome. That's great.
I love it.
Yeah. We had a pretty good night, I think, after the tournament was done and dusted. I certainly got pretty
drunk. We did. We talked about fishing ruse.
We had one of the greatest conversations with Big Daz from Nerdvarden Games. I don't know how we got onto it, but I think I mentioned the Ayers Rock Fishing Club And yeah, then Daz went on a tear about what the hell were they fishing, essentially driving out in the back of your ute trying to gaffer a roo in the middle of the desert.
That conversation about how the bag limit that you have for kangaroos. Like fucking just one bag, but it's a Star Wars backpack. Like a child's Star Wars. I don't know, man. That was insane. I don't even know how that conversation kicked off. But I will forever remember Big Daz miming the act of fishing for a kangaroo from a fucking trailer latched onto a four-wheel drive. Using grass as bait and just like trying to reel one in. It was mental. It was mental. That dude is a maniac and I love him.
And we got to see everyone when walking back.
Oh, fucking hell. So Tuggeranong, for those who don't know it, is riddled by kangaroos. Like there's this kind of urban legend about kangaroos hopping down the streets of Australian cities. In Tuggeranong, it happens. We saw kangaroos on the way back to the hotel. So it just really kind of, it was the icing on the cake, really. I did have a hangover.
So that doesn't happen in every city, does it?
No, it's like, you rarely see that. I just think it's because Canberra's like a bush capital. Yeah, it was crazy, man. We had a good Sunday. That team's tournament, biggest waste of time ever. I think I was not in the mood for it.
Not for lack of trying. I think it was, you know, well organised. But a couple of things we found with that team's comp was the no captain thing. Kind of, I don't know, made it a bit bland. And then the fact that Dave and I paired up, and not the fact that we paired up, the fact that we had four shots of goal between two games. The lowest percentage was about a 75. The highest was 90-something. It was like a three-dice tap-in. So yeah. Four-dice tap-in.
Yeah, four-dice.
Four-dice tap-in. Didn't get a goal. We scored two takeouts. Still managed to win a game because we managed to get 10 points on clock. So, yeah, it was suboptimal.
Yeah, it was bad.
And Pete thought he'd just ruffle-stomp the entire field and match up with Tobias, so 1-2 from the day before. How did you guys go?
Basically, we didn't let them get over 4 points. We played Snakeskin, Benediction, Avarice and Greed, Hoist, Velocity, and Ratchet. And basically, it was just the games went like this. Benediction pushed people into Avarice and Greed. Avarice and Greed took people out. Hoisted, dropped bombs on people, and Velocity scored a goal. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much every game.
How's this super sweet tech? So Hoist, because obviously everyone's guild models, Hoist can true replicate, is it pick me up and get picked up by Avarice, is that right?
Yeah.
And then, but never comes back on the table because there's no pretty like much function on Avarice's card to put him back on the table.
If so Hoist was ever going down, it was the plan.
Yeah.
Just like pick up that player, you know, take him out of the game. I was actually tempted at just pissing for Tobias off and like doing it anyway.
Brilliant. Really, no, I think we missed our opportunity with getting the bear and Hoist together and getting like bear hugs on the four column. That could have been pretty cool, but yeah, no, we didn't.
Yep, sadness, bad times. But that day worked out pretty well, man. We dropped from the tournament, went to watch the McGregor Mayweather fight, had some beers, hung out with Ed.
Ed was an absolute champ.
He's such a
us into the city. Yeah.
Best dude.
He's a cool guy. Ever.
Yeah, hopped the plane back. Campbell fell asleep on the plane ride on the way home.
Mm.
I had to wake him up to stop him from snoring. It was good. Good times, man.
Was that for your benefit or the other passengers? I'm just curious.
It was mostly for my benefit. He dribbles a bit when he sleeps. I've seen it before, but I just feel bad.
I thought you'd be used to it by now.
Yeah, you would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have thought you'd be used to Cam snoring, but...
What, because we share a bed?
Yeah, you know.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Sheep in long grass or something. I don't know.
Oh, no, I did have another one. What do you call a kiwi with 100 lovers?
A shepherd.
Brilliant.
That's great. So, you pumped? Great. Are you pumped, Pete? Are you pumped for Chicago?
I'm pretty excited, actually. Yep, I don't know what I'm going to take, but I'll figure something out, like a month beforehand or something.
What are you thinking? Like, what's in the mix?
Morticians are in the mix. I might play Hunters again, but it's pretty interesting because I think the meta at the moment is definitely a Hunters and Engineers meta. I think they're the top two teams at the moment. Or at least the most infuriating playstyle to play against. More so Engineers, because like I said, you just can't kill anybody but Ratchet. So how do you go about winning? I generally find you just try to outscore them. But yeah, I don't know. I'll think of something.
Mm. Do you think, so Dave and I have chatted about this a bit, do you think, like, obviously those two teams are the top, Obby's up there, because it's almost a range control kind of meta, like it's shifted to that style, and that's what I see kind of panning out, yeah.
That's what I see as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, so basically what's the best way of doing dealing with that? And then you might have the, you know, well, everyone's dealing with that, so what do I do to deal with the dealers of that, yeah. It could go on, right? I don't think Farmers will be out. I don't know if Blacksmiths will be out. It'd be interesting to see if someone takes them.
Yeah, actually, I'm waiting on some Blacksmiths from Gen Con, so I'm really looking forward to getting them on the table and playing around with them. I was playing around with them on Vassal last night, just measuring threat ranges and plays and stuff, and the more I look at them, the more excited I am by them. They look like a lot of fun. You know, potential for, like, huge kind of movement shenanigans through Ferrite and Iron. I really like that.
Ferrite as a as the captain just seems super good. And then, you know, +2/+2 move is always, always good. So, no. I think the interesting part about those, even though we haven't seen the other six, the six you see seems like a pretty solid lineup. And not saying that the Farmers aren't, purely because you've seen the others, so you know what you want out of it, you know, you know what the other captain does, that kind of thing. But I mean, the Farmers want to wait for the other six to come out before like choosing your lineup.
Yeah.
And that might influence release dates and things like that. So, and, you know, who plays what at Worlds.
Yeah, until Millstone and Thresher are available, I don't know that you've got like a viable 10.
No, I agree.
Grange seems reasonable. Like,
Grange seems bad. Yeah, definitely not bad. I just think Thresh is just over the top.
I think he's a bit like Fillet in the old days. Like, you know, it's definitely going to be the Thresher show. If you can control Thresher and Tater, you're probably onto a good thing.
Mm.
But I love his play style. I love that kind of, you know, that huge threat range.
Yeah, like Fillet in the old days wasn't unbeatable, right? Like you could beat us still.
Mm.
So. People would just have to adapt and figure out ways to sort of deal with Thresher. I'm kind of interested to see him when he does hit the table, and he might shift some of the, you know, the Hunters and Engineers off their playstyle. He might not. Who knows?
Hmm. I think Theron's got a pretty good game into him.
I think Ballista does as well.
Yeah. I think your point about the range control meta is bang on. I think that's bang on.
Mm.
Yeah. So lots of slow grindy games in the future. Great.
Yep. Just what we always wanted, right?
Yeah. But I think you could also argue, like Pete did, you know, in terms of the scarf, that like if you know the matchup that well, you can then throw. So you know, Ballista's got Pinvite, Theron's got Scarther. If you know how that matchup or that pair up kind of goes, then you can switch it up. If you need to, or if you feel like you can play that faster game into the opponent. Mm-hmm. Like I found a lot of the time when I was sitting down with the opponent, I'd start trying to understand what level they're at and what I could or couldn't do into them. And it became just as much about, you know, reading the other player and knowing what, you know, what little tricks you could get away with and ones that would just telegraph something else.
Yeah, you're all about mind games, though. You have been for a long time now.
I am. I'm bad like that.
Yeah.
Well, half the game is getting into the opponent's mind. It really is. In Guild Ball, if you can control what they do, you know, either just for goading them into it by, you know, saying stuff out loud, it's half the game.
What, like, hey, take a snap, you got to take a snapshot here.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly like that.
Exactly like that. Oh, my word. It would have been glorious had it got in, though.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably a natural point to close off the conversation. We're about an hour and a half in. So,
that's cool.
Any last thoughts, Pete? Do you want to leave us with anything? Final sledge? You know, words of wisdom?
You know, I'm just glad I got on, you know. You've talked about me in, about 10% of your previous podcasts, and that's finally good to be on. Well, you're in 20, and you talked to me about me in 2, so, yeah, it works out. About 10%.
Right. Hold on, let me use the calculator. Yep, all right. The math works out. It works out.
I'm glad.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you on, man, because, you know, like, full respect to you. You played a blinder of a tournament, and... Yeah, I certainly learned something through the game that we played. It helped me understand how to play, in general, a better game. And I'm grateful for that. Like, I think every loss is important, so I enjoyed our game. Yeah. I enjoyed hanging out with you as well. You're a fucking top bloke.
Oh, I enjoyed hanging out with you guys, like, pretty much all weekend. It was great. That's
awesome.
You know.
I enjoyed your sage-like advice at my tables, too.
Yeah. Sorry for being a little harsh.
Nah, man, I deserved it. I made some pretty ordinary decisions at some crucial points in the games. Absolutely.
It's just how I react when I'm disappointed.
Yeah, you should have been disappointed.
Sledgefest.
But realistically, I'm just looking forward to the WTC coming up, kicking back and watching some of the games.
Yeah.
And no coin. What the hell? Nobody took coin.
At all?
What?
No union player took coin.
Wow. All teams are in. Zero coin.
That's sad.
Suboptimal selection.
Okay. I like coin. Mm. I think he's good.
Yeah, so do I. I think he's better than Strongbox, personally, but, you know, that's my opinion.
So Lox didn't even take him. Because there's like three Steamforge teams, and he's got the alt. He's the only person in the world with the alt sculpt coin, and he didn't take it. Is that what you're telling me?
Coin to the WTC... Fred,
zero.
Yeah, so no veteran graves and Valsworn, and Union neither took Fangtooth or coin.
Sadness.
There you have it.
Yeah, I love me some coin. I think he's a great mascot.
Only 6% hunters, which is interesting. What? Since Australia had like what 5 out of 26 were hunters.
Yeah, it was good representation for sure.
Yeah.
Ahead of the curve. Ahead of the curve.
Again.
Always.
Yeah. If we don't talk to you beforehand, I think we need to, like, all sit down and have a chat about, like, an Oceania WTC team for next year.
And we'll maybe even start the planning soon, I think, in terms of trying to raise funds.
Yeah, because that'd be awesome. I mean, New Zealand's obviously got some good players, even though they're Australian now. And Australia's got some good players. I'm going to make it happen.
Yep. New Zealand's just the eastern state of Australia, right?
It is.
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe maybe we're the western state of New Zealand.
Maybe. I don't know.
Either way, who cares?
Yeah. One big happy family.
Indeed. Mm. Indeed. Anytime you get a beer in your hand, you are.
Yeah, definitely.
It was good to see you sink a few after your win. It was good. Well, good luck at Worlds.
Thank you very much.
We will be fucking cheering for you, mate. Like, I hope you go well.
I'll be cheering for me too, so. All right, guys.
Take it easy, man.
See ya.
See ya.
God, I still cannot fucking believe that a Kiwi won the Australian National Championship. David, what do you think?
Well, I'm sad, Campbell. I'm sad. But I'll get over it. Ultimately, you know, you're only champion for a year. What's going to be bad is if he comes back and does it again.
Yeah, okay.
Fool
so we're
going
to make sure that doesn't
shame
happen.
On me. Fool me twice, I'm shit at Guild Ball.
Yeah. So I think we've officially renamed it the Oceania Cup, so that's all good. But do we have a few thank yous after that that episode and obviously an awesome weekend that we had over in Canberra?
Well, I think we do. I think we have to say thanks to a whole bunch of people. Yep. Matty Graham and Aaron Hartwell.
Legend.
Put on a good show. We had a good time. Big thanks to 3D6 Games for their excellent hospitality and play space. Mostly their bar. That was quite the thing to have attached to a game store.
Yeah, that was awesome, actually, that bar. I got told by the owner that we weren't drinking nearly enough beer and there was another keg to go. So slightly disappointed by that, but the setup was awesome.
Yes. Big shout out to the 3D6 boys for the stream as well. And if you want to go back and watch some streamed games from Australian Nationals, you can do that on their Twitch channel, twitch.tv/3D6, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's right. 3 as in the word, and then D and 6 the number. So get on into that.
Anybody else, Cam? Any love song dedications you need to throw out?
Love song dedications. I'd like to throw a few out. I reckon my favourite game of the weekend, and so I want to thank this guy, Sean. He is a freaking legend from the Parramatta meta. He's a champ. That was a great game. In fact, all my opponents, I want to thank them because that's what it's all about is, you know, you meet up with new guys, you get new games in. So Sean, Tobias, Eb, Sam, and Michael, I believe, are all legends and really good fun to play. So
yeah, same, man. Did not have a bad game all day except for the game against Peter. That was fucking shit. It was trash. Never again. But a big thank you to Ben and Patrick Robertson, to Peter, to Sean Benson, who I couldn't agree more, mate. He's a lovely bloke. And to my favourite compatriot in Gilball, Daz from Nerdvana Games. I fucking love that dude. He's a legend.
He is a legend. He is such a legend that he sponsored a lot, or yeah, threw a lot of stuff into this tournament. So, you know, we'll do the double shout-out, nerdvanagamessa.com. Jump on there because he basically holds us up on his broad shoulders, the Australian meta, and supports pretty much every tournament that goes around here.
Now, I think there's two very special thank yous we need to give. The first one is to Ed Lambeck, who was just an absolute champ all weekend. Loveliest bloke. We hung out with him. We watched the Mayweather-McGregor fight with him. He drove us into town. We got some beers with him. Just absolute legend. Such a lovely bloke.
Yeah, absolute champion. No, that was pretty awesome. I got a game in with him on the Friday night too, which was pretty cool. Super top bloke. Just love to talk Guild Ball. So, Ed, you're a legend, mate. Thank you very much for that.
And the second big shout-out is a dual shout-out, but to Hayden Sheehan and his lovely fiancée, Ella. We've been good mates with Haydos for a good time over Vassal and over Twitter. Awesome to finally meet him. Like, what a top bloke. I think Ella is a lucky woman and Haydos is a lucky man, and I hope they are going to be very happy together when they get married later this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, they were top. And, you know, they were humouring our a drunken state on that Saturday night. And, you know, just good to hang out with. We've spent a lot of time, you know, chatting with him over Vassal, and when you actually finally get to, you know, put the face to the name, it is pretty cool, and that's what these tournaments are kind of about. You know, you get to bond with people that you haven't met before or you've met online, and I think
Haydos was a bit wigged out, though. He's like, fuck, man, you dudes are from the internet. What are you doing in real life?
But it was We're weird in 3D at that point.
Because Haydos is from the internet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Fucking mind blown. That's all I'm going to say, man. That's it.
Well, he's a champion. Absolute champion. Mm. So, any other thank yous, seers, you know, anything to say to Alex Botts?
Botsy, Peter's coming for you. He's like a shark that smelt blood.
Or a sheep that smelt blood, maybe. I don't know.
Or a shepherd that smelt a sheep.
With a little bit of mint sauce behind the ear, maybe.
Ooh, dating tips.
Sorry, that's a Kiwi joke. No one else will actually understand that.
Who gives a fuck? Yep. So yeah, man, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I think you know, one more big shout out to Big Daz, NerdvanaGamesSA.com. Get your shit from him because he is a legend.
He is an absolute legend. Can't wait for the next tournament, mate. And, yeah, let's get on out of here.
Knights, 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 knights.
Ah, yeah, play God.
Yep, 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 yep.